Hello, everybody. My name is Mark Dolan, and I'm your host for Time-Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell. Today, we're going to be talking to one of my favorite salespeople, Sarah Benson, who works in the town of Big Bear Lake, California. I've known Sarah for a while because Big Bear is a small town, and Sarah has been a real estate agent for several years, and I've watched a little bit of her transformation and growth, you know, closer in the last 3 or 4 years as she's been part of our company. So I want to welcome you today, Sarah, to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited and honored and nervous.
Well, I am so glad that you're here, and there's no reason to be nervous. You know, as I mentioned to you before we started, extraordinary things are done by ordinary people by applying time-tested mastery skills. And some of the principles that we talk about on our podcast or this podcast, I've been watching you put into your business over the last couple of years. And so I'm really excited for you to share that with the people that are listening to us today.
Great. I'm excited.
Well, you should be excited because you've done a lot of good things over the last couple of years. So for those people that don't know you, and that's probably most of the people that are listening, you know, share a little bit about your background, growing up in Big Bear, and how you found yourself getting into real estate.
Well, like you mentioned, I grew up in Big Bear, graduated from Big Bear High School. After high school, I went down to Long Beach and went to Long Beach State for a while. Then I got an opportunity to move to New York City, so I jumped on it and moved out there. I was out east for, gosh, almost 10 years, but while I was out there, I was able to work for the general counsel of Citigroup, which really got me into a business mindset and professionalism, and then life happens, and I moved back to Big Bear to raise my family. And somebody suggested that I get into real estate. And I had never really thought about it. I was never one of those people that thought, oh, I love homes. But I knew that I wanted to do something to work that part of my brain again. You know, being a mom and a stay-at-home mom works a whole different emotional part of your brain. But I wanted that business and professionalism. And so I bought the books and studied and got my license. And
sounds good. So I want to go back to that thing about school. So what did you study when you were in school?
I was actually going, believe it or not, for marketing. I thought that I wanted to be a broadcast journalism, which is really funny since I'm so nervous being on your podcast. God had other plans, clearly.
Okay. So you went to school for broadcast journalism. And then you found yourself in New York City. Did you live in Manhattan or was it New York City or was it just New York?
In New York City. Yep. I lived on the Upper East Side and I thought I was just going to be there for a year. I just wanted to meet people and have fun and live out that dream. So I got a job bartending and I met some amazing people. And then after that first year, I had to just make some decisions. Like, am I staying? And I gonna head back? What's my thoughts? And then the opportunity came to work for Citigroup and I stayed.
So talk a little bit. So you worked for the general counsel of Citigroup?
Yes, general counsel of Global Transaction Services. So I dealt a lot of time with, you know, our partners in Hong Kong and the UK and just all over. It just taught me what professionalism I feel like looks like.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that the demands and the standards were pretty high in that position.
Yes.
A lot of attention to detail. That's pretty exciting. So, that sounds like a great dream to be in New York City, especially to be young and to be in New York City and to have such a high profile job. Do you prefer raising your children here in Big Bear versus being in New York City?
Yes. I would love to go back to New York, but not as a mom. That was my big thing. I wanted, you know, to pull my car into a driveway. I wanted to have the white picket fence. I wanted all those things. I didn't want my kids to, you know my doorman more than they knew me. I wanted You know, I wanted that, and I just love Big Bear so much. And like I said, this is where I was raised, and so there, it wasn't really a hard decision, I'd say.
Yeah, to come awesome, back. Awesome. So, you know, coming home to Big Bear, I mean, Big Bear is a beautiful place, and so you decided to get into real estate. So did you ever think about being in real estate prior to your move back?
Never once. No, okay. It just wasn't anything. I just didn't think much about it. You know, I'd been on the buying and selling end of, you know, selling an apartment in New York and New Jersey and Florida and eventually in up in San Francisco. And through all of that, I never thought about it. So when it was brought up to me, I thought, well, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's probably a good thing to be able to let me use that part of my brain. It wasn't a career. I never thought of it as a business until I met you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and I think, you know, the reason that I asked that is that, and I asked that of everybody that I talk to that is in real estate, it was, what were you thinking about before? And when you were in school growing up, did you ever think about getting into real estate? When I was a teenager, I had a couple of friends whose parents were in the real estate business, and those kids did not go into the real estate business. I never thought for a minute about getting in real estate. It was just sort of an accident at the age of 21 that I got involved with the business. And so I find that that is to be a very similar story for a lot of people. So, you know, looking back now to when you took the test and passed that and got into the business, what was your start like? You know, what was it like to be a new agent? Well, how were you feeling? What were you thinking at the time?
It was slow because, again, like I said, I was a stay-at-home mom and I felt like that was my focus. I probably used that as an excuse too much, you know, just saying, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm just doing this on the side. This is kind of, you know, we're going to make money for an extra vacation or to redo a bathroom. It was never... I didn't put the focus into it. And I'm sure you'll agree, but getting your real estate license is great, but learning how to get a client, do a listing presentation, keep a client, follow up with a client, you know, do a request for repairs, they don't teach you any of that. Right. So it was a lot of learning still once I got my license.
Yeah. I feel like a broken record because I tell the same stories over and over and over. But when I got into the business, I thought it was so simple. I saw people driving Cadillacs that were selling real estate. So I thought, hey, there's a lot of money in this and it doesn't look hard. You know, somebody, you know, says they want to sell their house. They sign a contract. You put a sign in front of their house. Somebody makes an offer. They buy it and you make a lot of money. That's what I thought the business was. I had no clue as to all of the things that it took place. I mean, I didn't know how to sell. I didn't know how to price property when I first got into the business. So I think a lot of people share that. For me, it was a rude awakening. I don't know what the awakening was for you, but it is hard in the beginning.
Absolutely.
So what were those early years like for you, you know, as far as production and how did your career sort of move along?
Well, like I said, it was slow. You know, it was all word of mouth or referrals. I didn't know anything about lead generation or, you know, you guys talk about being a secret agent. I was definitely a secret agent. I didn't publicize it. I don't think I had the confidence for it. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and this was, so I would do, you know, a deal maybe two a year and be happy with that. Then my kids grew up and they were going to school. And then I thought, all right, well, maybe I can use this. Like, I don't have the excuse of just being a stay-at-home mom anymore. Like, I now have more time. And so that is when I really adored my broker. I respected him. I liked where I was, but I just wasn't getting the support and the training. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to grow my business. I didn't know where to go next. So I spoke with some people from RE/MAX Big Bear and some other agents that I respected immensely and just kind of got their thoughts on, hey, what do you guys do and how does this work? So then I reached out to our broker, Dan and Simeon. And I said, because like you mentioned, Big Bear is very small. So I said, hey, I'm thinking about this, but I don't want it really out there. I'd rather not meet in the office. If we could just meet, you know, somewhere else so that we don't start a bunch of speculation of Sarah's moving. Right. You know, I think I gave myself a lot more credit than I deserve. But they were wonderful and met with me. And after leaving that meeting, I thought there's no way that I can't make this move if I want to really make this a career, make this a business. So I went home and talked to my husband, and he was on board, and I signed the papers and came to RE/MAX. And I know I've told you this many times, but I have not regretted that one time. It has been incredible for my career and personally as well.
Yeah. So, you know, and I, you know, and I love Dan and Simeon, and I appreciate what you shared there. You know, can you share with, you know, because there's a lot of agents that are in various stages of their career. I mean, there are some people that might be the stay-at-home moms that are now in real estate that are thinking about, you know, the next step or where they want to go with it. There might be some people out there that are, you know, frustrated with where their business is at right now, and they don't know how to move forward. So can you think back and remember, you know, what were the things that were on your mind that you wanted, that you, you know, that you weren't getting at the time, that you, that made you reach out and start looking somewhere?
Yeah. I think support, like I said, my passport was great, but there wasn't the support of staff and training and even other agents. You know, everybody just, nobody worked in the office. Everybody just did their thing. They were just, they knew what they were doing and they did their things. So there wasn't the support there. There were a lot of things that I didn't know that I wanted or needed until I came to RE/MAX. You know, I really went in thinking, I just want the training. I want the support. I, you know, I like the RE/MAX name, and the RE/MAX Big Bear agents that I know are all doing great things. They're all wonderful people. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. When I decided to go from stay-at-home mom to full-time agent, I didn't really know what that entailed. Again, until coming to RE/MAX Big Bear, when they said, you said, you know, you kind of got to make your decision here. You know, like, I know you want to do this, but your family's got to really be supportive of this too, because you have to not be a secret agent. You have to put the time into it. And so I think making that decision and jumping in and setting goals, you know, I came to you with a lofty goal, and the support from you and from all of our, you know, from the admin to the office staff to the other agents. I didn't know that that was something that I was missing, but has been essential to where I am now.
Yeah. It, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, real estate is a funny business in that it's very entrepreneurial. So not only do real estate agents operate their business very differently from each other. I mean, you can have an agent that behaves this way or this way or this way, or I mean, there's all kind, there's a wide spectrum of the way that agents operate. And there's also a wide spectrum of the way that real estate companies operate. And so when you're not really exposed to what's available in other places, you really don't know what you're missing. I think that's what I hear you saying, is that you didn't know some of the things that were available to you because you just didn't know that they were available.
100%. I mean, RE/MAX itself, they offer so much training and, you know, RE/MAX University and support and conventions, but then just RE/MAX Big Bear, between your, you know, monthly broker meetings and the Buffini courses that we take and the Mike Ferry courses that we take. It's training that I didn't know, and support that I didn't know that I needed. And like I said, just being in the office and having those other agents to bounce things off of, you know, people think, oh, but they can just work from home. Real estate's great. You can work from home. But the things that I've learned from being in the office every day, from hearing you and your team talk to hearing other team talks or agents talk, you, I didn't know that I would need that too, because I thought, oh, I can still work at home, but
Yeah.
it's not that easy.
Well, one of the things that I, you know, and I didn't write this down. One of the things that I admire about you, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you, is that you have a commitment to learning. Probably more formal training of any agent that I've seen in the last 5 or 10 years. I think you've gotten involved and really dove into a lot of training. I mean, you have a lot of designations that you've gone for. You've taken a lot of classes, you know, personally. And if I were to add them all up, and I haven't added them up, but I know that if I did, I don't think that there's any one agent that I know that has devoted themselves to education over the last 3 years as much as you have. So can you share where that drive came from, or where that mindset came from? Because in that respect, you're in the top 1 or 2% from my perspective.
Thank you. I don't want to keep bragging on you, but I think it came from you. You know, I never read real estate. I always knew I wanted to like listen to real estate podcasts or read books, and that's, but I didn't know where to start, you know, and you would recommend books to us. And so I started there. I really want, I'm a sponge and I want to take it all in, you know, going to R4 that first year, I said, I'm going to go to every single thing. I want to take it all in. I want to learn everything. I went to every single session I possibly could. And I came back with a lot that was, and that I think was a real eye opener too. A lot that I could integrate into my business. And, you know, and then one of the designations, I remember I had been working with a client for a few months, and it was a probate. They were trying to sell their sister's property, and I've been working with them for a few months because probates take forever. And down to right before listing it, the attorney came back to them and said, the agent has to be a certified probate specialist. And I remember calling you early in the morning saying, oh my gosh, like, do we know anybody in Remax Big Bear that is, that we can, I can give this to?
Yeah.
And you're not so many words. It was like, well, can you get it? Like, can you get on there? And what's the timeline like? Can you? And so I did, and I went on and got it. And I not only got that deal, but I got another deal from it. And I can say I'm a, you know, a certified probate specialist and a luxury specialist. I went to a luxury convention. I really want to, especially, you know, in these days, but show my value to my clients and get as much expertise as I can that I can pass on to them to make it a great experience for them, and to show my value. And I just love learning. It just gives me the confidence that I
yeah.
need to do the right things.
So not only has the education been valuable to your clients because you have more to give them as far as value, but it also works well for you because it gives you confidence.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. So has it been 3 years that you've been with Remax Big Bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think June is 3.
Okay.
It's 4. I don't know. Yeah.
So can you sort of describe, you know, what's happened in both your business and your personal life as a result of making that change and the rapid growth, at least that I see in you, over the, because it's about personal development. Time-tested mastery isn't about making $1 million or $100,000. It's about being the best that you can be. And so you've made tremendous amount of growth over the last 3 years. So, you know, practically, how is your life different today than it was 3 years ago?
Man, how much time do you have? Just kidding. well, professionally, just in that first year, I saw a monetary growth in my business that I didn't think was possible just from applying the things that I learned through our broker meetings or meeting with you one-on-one or the Mike Ferry. I think the first year was our Mike Ferry foundations training. So professionally, the growth just in the first year was incredible. personally, gosh, I don't even know where to begin. Just the confidence that I have with the support behind me has allowed me to do things, you know, step out of my comfort zone, which is a huge goal for me this year. But to know that I have that support and to know that I have the knowledge, you know, I've put the time in because I've had the tools to be able to now, the tools to know where to look and the conventions and the meetings. So and reading a ton of books that are good for my business, but personally, just, you know, I'm trying to think of ones that stand out, like The Lethem Theory by Mel Robbins. I just read that, which has helped me with some of my clients because I take things very personally. And it's also helped me in my, you know, personal life with letting other people do their thing and not being so caught up in it. It's helped me, you know, with my family as well, like my husband and kids, because I now am also, in my eyes, a professional, and they look at me like that. And they're my biggest cheerleaders. And so the support has really pushed me professionally and personally as well. All those things I wouldn't have got had I stayed in my comfort zone and stayed with my original broker and just kept, you know, doing it part-time, just being a stay-at-home mom who kind of did it part-time.
And so I heard a couple of things. One there first was money, making more money. We're in the business to make money. I mean, you know, I'm pretty clear about that. And I wish more people were clear about that. I think the desire to make more money is one of the things that forces us to grow, or at least makes us hungry to grow. But what I also heard, which was the more valuable part, is that you seem happier as a result of the personal growth that you've had.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, that growing personally is the best way to be happy. We don't always make more money, but we're always happy when we're growing, I think. So the next thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, going back over, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, you already shared one. The question that I was going to ask you, is there any specific wins or any specific breakthroughs or aha moments that, you know, something was going on and all of a sudden there was this click where you got an idea that really moved you forward? And I think the idea about the probate thing, which is, you know, hey, I can do this, and not only can I do it, it paid off for me. Is there anything else like that that stands out to you?
Gosh, yeah, there's so many. I think one that was kind of personal and professional, we did a training, and one of the people said, you know, you're the CEO of your own business, you know, which is very unique for real estate, because you are, this is your business. Yes, we're under, you know, RE/MAX Big Bear. We have the support of our broker and our owners and our staff, but this is my business, and I'm the one who has to drive it. I'm the one who has to make the financial decisions, that has to, you know, make the, it's my name, my brand, and it's a small town too, which adds a different dynamic. And so when they said that, I was in the shower one morning and I was just kind of having one of those slumps, you know, Brian Buffini would call it like the plateau. I was just sort of in the plateau. I had seen such big growth, and then I was kind of getting discouraged. And I sat there, I'm like, you know what? I am the CEO of my own business right now. And if I was an employee, I'd fire me. I'm not putting in the time. I'm not putting in the effort. I'm not a good financial decision for my business right now. And that changed it, because I thought, get your butt back into the office. Do make your calls, do the things that you've learned. Like, I have a notebook full of all my notes and my, you know, from all my reading and all my designations. And it's a very, very smart notebook just sitting on my desk, but it's not doing anything for me. And so that was one of my big things, that it is a business and I am the CEO and I am in control of all that.
Yeah. That reminds me of a quote, and I'm probably only going to paraphrase it. It's from Don Shula, the old football coach for the Miami Dolphins. I think it's from him, and his quote is that change is about different behavior, and if you haven't changed behavior, you haven't learned anything yet. And I thought that's fascinating, is because we can have all kinds of head knowledge, we can have notes, we can have all these other things, but until it's applied, we really don't know anything yet. It's just basically ink and paper kind of thing. And that's sort of right. What I got from that comment. So good for you. That's pretty tough. Yeah, that's pretty tough medicine that you shared with yourself there.
Yeah, but needed. And again, that was something that I learned in one of our, one of my classes that I'd been to. Yeah. And it just hit me at that moment, you know, kind of like, what does Brian Buffini say? The education without implementation is purely entertainment. And that's, yeah, you know, I can take all these classes, but if I'm not doing anything with it, then it's not for anything.
Real estate is a funny business. It's a great business. I did, like I said, I wasn't planning to get into it myself, but it's the only business I know where you are the CEO, you're the chief financial officer, you're the chief information officer, you are the supervisor, you're the vice president, you're the marketer, you're the salesperson, right. You're the assistant. I mean, it is your business. And you're responsible for all of those. I don't know any other business where, you know, where there's a solo entrepreneur that is wearing all of those hats unless they've built their business up enough to where they're hiring other people to work alongside them. So good for you for catching that. Most independent contractor-minded salespeople never have that CEO talk that you had yourself. So that's pretty cool. Can you think of any other major aha moment? That sounds like a big one. Is there anything else that stands out?
Gosh, I feel like I have so many that, you know, each thing I go to, you know, like you mentioned, I sign up for everything. I sign up for any class I can take, any training I can take, and I go in with the mindset that, I'm going to get at least one thing out of it. At least one thing. I'm reading right now that No Bull Selling that you recommended in our other one. And so, like I said, I have a sign up above right now saying slow down and trying to think about how I am saying certain words and my words matter. And everything I read and everything, I get at least one thing out of it. You know, Jordan Cohen, I went to his session and got his book, and it taught me different ways to, at my listing presentation, different things to say that I implement and use to this day. So I really get something, I get something out of everything I do, at least one thing that I bring. I'm trying to pinpoint specific things. And I feel like so much of my business is just because of all those things that I've learned.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you by talking with you, the thing that stands out is that you take action with many of the things that you learn, maybe not all, but with a lot of the things you're taking action, which to me, that is probably worth the price of listening to our discussion today. There is a second strength that you have that goes beyond the education. And, you know, I know this because of the discussions we've had with your transactions, is how customer service oriented you are and how focused you are on your reputation and the value that you give to your customers. There are a lot of people, I think, that aspire to that, you know, but again, like implementing the things that you are learning, there's a lot of people that aspire to that. There's a lot of people that will add that as part of their marketing, which is, you know, I've got the best, you know, service in town. Where does that come from for you? And how have you made that such a big part of your business?
Well, I'm a people pleaser, but I think, you know, my brand is me, and I want to make people feel as comfortable, and I want them to look back on the on the at the closing and say, wow, like she went above and beyond, not just professionally, but I want them to speak that of my character. You know, integrity is a huge part of personally and then professionally for me. Because like we mentioned, it is a small town. And I have kids that are growing up here, and being honest and true and making my character stand out is the most important thing to me. And that rolls over into making sure that my clients feel protected, feel heard, feel like, again, like I just went above and beyond to take the stress out of what is a really stressful situation for some people.
Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, so it's interesting, you know, to use that phrase people pleasing, because a lot of people would say, well, you know, that's not a good trait. But from a customer service standpoint, you do want to please your customers, you know, so to, you know, to have that as part of your personality is important in providing good customer service. There's also a downside. You know, one of the things I've learned, you know, throughout my career is that our greatest strengths can often be our greatest weakness at the same time. And so the way that I imagine that it would affect you is that when somebody doesn't value the effort that you're putting into it, that probably is devastating to you, because I know it is to me. When somebody says, you know, you didn't do good enough, Mark, I know I tried hard, and so it's really heartbreaking. So this is probably personal. How do you handle that? Or how have you learned? How have you handled it in the past?
Drink wine.
You drink wine.
Yeah, it is. It's discouraging. I think more than anything, it's discouraging because you know your intentions. And obviously, the other party didn't see that. You didn't convey it well. So I do. I get discouraged. And I don't know. Again, the Mel Robbins, I'm learning a lot from her book, The Let 'Em Theory. I have to let them think that, feel that, but then let me control how I react to that and how I respond. I can do my best after to convey my intentions, but at that point, I think they've already made up their mind if they don't think that I, you know, did a good job, or they don't see that I went above and beyond. I think I'm learning before, like I said, I'd get discouraged and I really just let it take over for a while.
Yeah.
But with learning that I can't always control all those things, I can control me and how I'm going to move forward. And that was one, but I got to not let it affect the next one, if that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 It's hard. And I think the longer we're in the business, yeah, I'm not sure that it gets easier, but we learn new tools and new ways of dealing with that kind of thing. I know that I've shared this with you before, is that, you know, if I cold called 100 people, 35% of the people would thank me for calling. I mean, I was polite. I offered to be of help. They weren't interested. And they'd say, you know, hey, I'm sorry, you know, Mark, we're not interested. And they would say, I got to go. And they would hang up, and it would be a quick, short phone call. Nobody was mad at anybody. They just said, no, we don't need your help. Another 35% of the people would, they wouldn't even listen to my message. You know, when they would answer the phone, they would hear, oh, it's a salesperson. And they'd say, no, I'm not interested. And I knew they were already hanging up because their voice was getting lower as the phone was going down to the receiver to hang up. And then there were about 10% of the people that were, I would say, lonely people that would love to talk to me because nobody else was calling them. And so they would just, it was almost like I was their grandson calling or something. I mean, they just had somebody to talk to, so they were happy. And there were about 10% of the people that would, they would pump me for information, they were willing to talk with me, but they wanted to get information, but they had no interest or need for what I was doing. They just said, you know, here's an opportunity for me to get some information. So they would ask me and pump me for a bunch of questions. 5% of the people would actually be reasonably, maybe they want to do something, and so he would continue the conversation. Not all of them would do something. But then there were the 5% that were the really nasty people. You know, the people that would say nasty things about my mom or yell and scream at me and hang up on me, and that kind of thing. So I know I've shared that with you before, and it took me a long time to realize that every single time that I called everyone, my script and my intention was always the same. My name is Mark. I'm in real estate. I'm professional. I want to help you if you have a need in real estate. Can I help you? So I was always the same. But I was getting 5 or 6 different reactions. And so it occurred to me is that their reaction doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do about them. It has everything to do. So I probably just did the real short synopsis of Mel Robbins' book, right? Which is, you know, that's them. Let them, right?
Let them, right. Yeah, let them, then let you decide how to react. But you've been saying that to us for, you know, the past. Yeah. Well, for me, for 3 years, and you know, you could hear it, but then actually doing it and letting it roll off your back easier is something that takes a lot of rejection and it takes a lot of discouragement to get better at it, I guess.
Yeah. So, you mentioned, you know, I mean, you mentioned, you know, raising the kids and having the family life and being. You know, sort of a part-time or, you know, an afterthought kind of agent. You said secret agent, but I think it was more is that your business fit around your family life. And that's changed a little bit over the last 3 years. So now you have, you know, moms and realtors have a real tough job. How do you balance that now when you have made a much more professional commitment to the business?
Time blocking. My calendar is big. I put in there my priorities and my family. I so far haven't missed a single track meet, dance, award ceremony. You know, I still volunteer at the school. But with that, my family, again, they've been very supportive. And they know that that also means that on vacation, my computer's with me. I'm working, you know, as you know, I do a lot of our Zoom calls that I still make sure I'm on them, even on vacation. I take all my clients' calls, you know, I'm not going to take it during dinner. I'm not going to take it during an awards thing. But if we're at home watching a movie and a client calls, I'm going to do that because I was just spending 2 hours at the school. So it's balancing that and getting my family on board. You know, when I came to them and said, this is my goal of being a top agent in this many years, and this is what it's going to entail. Thankfully, my husband was great about it. He's like, okay, like, I can help with this area and I can help in that area. But just really time blocking and putting it on my calendar so that what's important is on the calendar. And then, but making sure I can also be 100% present when I need to with a client and when I need to with my kids.
So between, you know, two things, one is personal discipline, which when you're time blocking and following your schedule, that's related to you. And the second part of that is boundaries. So the boundaries sound like they're a little bit blurred, but that is to try and be flexible is what it sounds like. Do you ever have any pushback when you cross over still?
I think the pushback mainly comes from myself. I feel like I'm not, you know, shoot, should I be, you know, taking this call right now? Or shoot, this person's calling and I know that, you know, they're probably stressed out because the email I sent to him before I went to my daughter's award thing was, hey, you know, they declined a request for repairs and blah, blah, blah. But so now they're calling to talk about it and I'm going to have to make them wait. So it's a guilt, I think, that I have. But I also try to make sure that before the end of the night, it might not be the end of the workday, but before the end of the night, I've contacted that client and put them at ease. I don't ever want my clients to go to bed stressed out. and stay awake because that's what I do. No need for two of us. So I always try to make sure that, you know, I get back to them. So I think the boundary crossing is just my own guilt on both sides. And I haven't read a book yet that helps me through that.
I don't know that there is one. You know, the 24/7 nature of being in the trenches in real estate is very, very real. You know, the transactions for our clients is the largest financial investment or decision that they make a lot of time. And when we've committed to being a professional, I mean, that's basically a promise to them is that, you know, I'm here for you. And so when they call and say, hey, I need you, it's like, well, we do have to be there for them. So I commend you for that. I know how difficult it is. So can you think of anything else that you would like to share with the people that are listening today about, you know, where you find yourself in your career today and where you're going, or, you know, what your goals are going forward?
Gosh, that one caught me off guard. Well, as you know, I set a very lofty goal for myself a couple years ago, and I'm still pushing and thriving. I want to be the top agent, solo agent here in Big Bear. It was within 5 years, so it's 2028. You've been wonderful in helping me map that out and where I need to go. I feel like I said a little bit ago, I hit a plateau, and because my business did grow so much, and I don't know if I was prepared for that. I thought I was, but now I hit that plateau. So I need to get different systems in place to keep going towards my goal. And so I think I'm on the right path. I just keep going, like I said, to every single training I can, read all the books that people recommend. And just work on being the best I can be in my business. And, you know, yes, I want that goal, but like I mentioned, the integrity part of it is more important to me and the character part of it. So making sure that all of that's aligning as I keep working towards my goals.
Yeah, very good. So I don't know if I shared this question with you or not in advance, but maybe I did. I hope I did. So you said that you were a little uncomfortable with the idea of doing a podcast interview, and yet you are here doing it anyway. So the question is, why did you do it? Number one, and the second part was, is it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Well, one of my goals this year through everything was to push myself out of my comfort zone. Because that's really the only way to keep going is to just, you know, break out of what I'm used to so I can get to something even better. So when you sent me that email, I read it. And at first I thought, not a chance. So I kind of set it down, and then I slept on it and I prayed about it and thought, okay, you know, I want to move out of my comfort zone. This is so far out of my comfort zone because, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like I have anything to offer. I feel like I talk funny, you know, all the things. But I did. And I made sure I was prepared. I bullet pointed some things, made sure I did what you said, had my camera ready, did all the testing so that I felt fully 100% prepared. And to answer, no, it is not as bad, because I feel like I'm just talking to you, which I do. So I feel like we're just having the conversation. And that has been much better than I expected. I don't feel like I'm blabbering too much.
Yeah, no, very good. No, you did great. And you shared a lot of great things. You know, it is it's been a pleasure to work with you for the last 3 years and watch you grow. Really enjoy that, and watching, you know, what you've done and what you've implemented. You've been a, you know, a great person to share ideas with, because you've taken so many of them and adopted them. So what I'd like you to leave everybody with today is, you know, what is the one mindset or the mantra or the self-talk that you, the affirmation that you're giving yourself today to help you move forward, you know, when you're feeling in doubt, or when you want to give yourself the motivation to make it the best day that you possibly can? What are you telling yourself to keep you going forward?
Well, first, I just want to thank you for pushing me out of my comfort zone and being here. And I contribute so much of my growth to you personally and to everybody here at RE/MAX. So I appreciate it. Zig Ziglar said, fear can have, I'm going to butcher this, but fear can have two meanings. It's forget everything and run, face everything and rise. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And that's kind of what my goal is for this year. My mantra is for this year. Like, face it all, step out of your comfort zone, and rise. And I really just do try to read and do as many of the trainings as possible. I think that's my mindset, is get something, one thing out of everything so that I can keep growing my business and be the best that I can for my clients.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job. So I commend you. You've done a great job today, and I can't wait to see what you do next, Sarah. So thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.